Well, today we are starting a series, and I normally don't do this, but you actually have my notes today, so I put them in the bulletin for you to have, because there's a lot we're going to be talking about, and I thought it'd be a lot for you to write down for what we're going to go through. But if you don't have one of these notes, I will tell you on there it says part two, but it's actually, this is part one. This is my auto piece, was making it number two. But this is part one. If you don't have one and you want one, Scott will give you one. Just lift your hand up and we'll get, there's a couple over there. There's some there. So what we're going to do today is we're going to start into this whole thing of spiritual warfare. Now what I really like is the idea is that really this, these songs we sang were just awesome today, and especially that last one, because what we're getting ready to cover is going to think we're not talking about Jesus. But I was very thankful for that. I don't always know the songs are being sung, but somehow they kind of work with our messages so often. But onto the right, onto the one side of your paper, there's notes there that you can take. Those are notes that you think that you can write something said, or you can start putting your own little stuff over there, some of the things that you might be going through, trying to figure out what's going on in your life. So today we are talking about this thing called armor of God and the spiritual warfare. And so we're going to break this down into 3 weeks. There's another one over there, Scott. Over there. We're going to break this down into 3 weeks, and this week we'll take the front end. The second week we will really be dealing with the armor of God, and we'll finish it up in the last part. So each one of these is vital to the other. And anytime I go into spiritual warfare studies or anything of that where I want to learn, I spend only so much time on it, and then I got to be done with it. I suggest you do the same thing, that if you do any research in these areas, that you start on it, and then you need to leave it alone for a while. Get back to Jesus and everything in there, because it has a luring effect. It will draw you in. Not that the scriptures are bad or anything. Scriptures are warning us, but if you start getting all up in your own little personal studies and you start reading other books, There's a part there we'll start that can kind of lure you into wanting to be more interested in dark things than Jesus himself. So there's a warning with that. You just need to be careful when you do that. If you study in that area, I did it for like a 2 month piece one time, 3 month piece back in the early days of my ministry, and the Holy Spirit just said you got to be done now, and then I did, because it was just too heavy. At times, and it's not saying not to study what you need to, but you also got to move on and make sure we're talking about Jesus, all right? Because Jesus is who we serve. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is every good thing that's inside of me and in you. It comes from the Lord. But we are, Christ has won the great victory, and we have victory through Christ, but we do have a life to live on this side of heaven. And this side of heaven, it gets really tough at times, because we have an enemy, an adversary. His name is Satan, but it's not just him. It's the demons, it's the fallen angels, it's all of that. And we'll get into some of that, but I'm not going to get into so deep stuff, because you'll have more questions than you have answers for. And there's even some things that I don't think we're going to know until we get to heaven. Okay? But let's just go ahead and this. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. And we're explicitly pretty much going to stay in there unless I reference something. And we're going to we're breaking some things down. But these are the scriptures I want to talk about this morning. And so Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Normally I use maybe Holman version. But today I'm using NIV just for simplicity. And I looked through the New King James Version. We need to stay in the NIV today. There's some words in there. It might be a little, we want to make it simple and understanding. Verse 10 says this, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, principalities, possibly in your version, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, stand." Father, Lord, as we open up this series, I pray, Father, your blessing would be upon it, that we might learn more, really, how this all works, how we are attacked, how to fight through it with the armor of God, Lord. But of all things, Lord, that we be reminded, Lord, that we have won because you've won. And Lord, we know that we just ask for your presence and your spirit to be upon each person here today, to draw each one of us closer to you. Even in this topic here, we can even learn to love you more and to learn from you and your word. And we ask a blessing on this time and these next three services that we have for this series. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we do, we read here that there is, this opens up a lot of things in our minds. But I want to share some things because some people say that the Bible's not really got a lot to say about our enemy, Satan. But it does. It really does. You can find him in Genesis chapter 3. You can find him messing around in Genesis chapter 3. You can find him in all the book of Job. You can find him in especially the first couple of chapters of Job. But you can find the work through that, all he's done there. You can find him also in 1 Samuel. I think it's the 2 Samuel chapter 11. You can find him there. You can find him in Ezekiel chapter 28. You can find him in Zechariah chapter 3. You can find him in Matthew chapter 4. You can find him in Revelations chapter 2. You can 3. You can find him in Revelations chapter 12. You can find him in Revelations chapter 20. He's all over the place. And there's even a lot that I missed. He's all over the place. Let's get this out of the way. God is the creator of all things. God owns everything. There's one seat on the throne, and that is our Lord. There is Satan is not equal with God, not equal with Jesus. There's teachings out there that Jesus and Lucifer were brothers. They were not. Because Scripture tells us, let us create man in our own image. Ezekiel chapter 28 says Satan was created. There is a big difference. Jesus and Lucifer, Satan, are not brothers. You get that out of your head because, listen, last time I did this study, there were two or three people in this church that still thought that. You're letting somebody speak into your mind that don't need to be speaking into your mind, and you are listening to the wrong person. You need to be wise. You need to go back to the Scriptures. Okay? Just because somebody says so, you go back and you need to read the Scriptures. So I want to go into this. We're going to go into this this series here, and knowing this is for your benefit and my benefit, because attacks on us will happen. We're going to talk about some of those attacks. But as we go, I want to share some things that these Scripture tells us to do. There are three things in here that we're called to do in this piece here. We are called to be strong, but not in our own strength, because the battle is not against flesh and blood. So our strength comes from the Lord, so we need to be strong in the Lord. We need to be strong in the Lord. Number one, strong in the Lord. Number two, we need to put on the full armor of God. We need to put on the armor of God. We're going to talk about that more in detail next week. We are called to put on the full armor of God. If you think you can walk in this world, as nasty and filthy as it is, you think you can walk and not come out unscathed, you're fooling yourself. You have to be equipped to live in this world, and you're going to have to put on the full armor of God. And the more you get into ministry, the tighter you're going to have to put it on. And we're going to talk about that. But also, it keeps telling us that we're to stand our ground. We're to stand our ground and we're not to give up ground, which means we don't quit. We don't surrender. We dig in. We fight the fight. We stand strong. We're going to stand strong because we know that Jesus is with us. Greater what? Greater is he than me than what? There you go. We don't retreat. We fight. When the attack comes, we need to learn to fight. And believe me, your faith will be tested. Your faith will be tested. As mine has been tested several times your faith will be tested. I'm telling you, some of those you think you're going to scoot right through, and I'm telling you, sometimes it gets nasty. And the Lord knows that. So He gives us this warning on how we should do it and what it looks like. Some of you, I know, as we began to start and I began to prep for this, I know there were already some bumps that were happening. It just happens anytime you get in this. One of Satan's greatest arsenals is that people believe he don't exist. And I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about people that know the Lord. They don't exist. Well, He does. How do I know? Because God's Word tells me. And He tells you that He exists. Satan is the leader. Let's get that out of the way. Satan is the leader. He has a kingdom. Satan is not in hell right now. He can go back and forth. He's not thrown out of heaven yet. Still goes up there. How do we know that? Because he's the accuser of the brethren. Still accuses. There's going to come a time, and that will happen. They move back and forth. But what are they doing? They're trying to attack you and I. To keep people from sharing the gospel, to keep Christians from sharing the gospel, keep Christians from praying, because prayer changes things. When we ask God to intervene into our life or into someone's life, we're asking God to do things that people cannot do on their own. And so we're asking God to intervene, and when we pray, we're doing that. The dark side wants to attack. When you're thinking about taking on, and God's taking on a ministry, or you're moving to go forward and deeper into your walk with the Lord, there is opportunities that the dark side will take to attack your life. He'll tempt you and put temptations in front of you. And when you take that temptation and you fall into that sin and you do the act, sometimes it is a very costly thing. But the Scripture tells us that we are to be strong, and we are to be put on the armor of God, and we are to stand our ground. But it also says this: for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood. Today I stand here, I'm flesh and blood. Part of me is flesh and blood. What you see is my flesh and the blood that flows through me that makes me alive. So that's flesh and blood. So he says our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's bigger than that. It's against spiritual darkness. What is that? It says, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, rulers and authorities. You notice there were some things listed. It wasn't just one thing. Each one of those are different. Rulers. We see that there are rulers. Those principalities. They govern over something that's there's a small area, but it's over bigger. But over a bigger, it's a small area and a bigger area. I don't want to get too deep into that, but I want to tell you they are organized. They are organized, and they have a mission that they are on. There's those authorities over bigger areas, powers of this dark world. We see spiritual forces even into the heavenly realms. Go back to Daniel chapter 10. That's a big one. But we know this. Some people say, well, if I don't mess with them and they won't mess with me. Yeah. That doesn't work. They pick a fight and they pick you. You're in it. This is why we have Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. Why just say the name of Jesus and everything's right? I'd love to go back and talk to a man named Job and see how that works. It works. Believe me, it works. But sometimes God allows you to go through some things because it's a testing of your faith. Sometimes you don't cause it. You don't cause the fight. You don't cause it, but it comes to you. It's an attack on you. But I need you to understand that there's a lot more going on than what you can see. You see, I can stand up here today and preach and tell you how great you are and how awesome you are and how to get your best life now, how to grab this opportunity and get this blessing, how to give and receive more blessings. You give, you get, all that stuff. Fill up a place. But nobody's going to tell you when the house of God is assembled. Sometimes God's angels are even in the midst. But also demonics in the midst. Oh, they don't go to church. You need to read, once again, you need to read Mark. Jesus goes into the synagogue and there's one right in the back. Jesus, you're the Son of God. What are you doing here? You come to take us out. Jesus rebuked him. He cast that demon out. He was in the synagogue. He was in the church. There's a battle raging, and it's for the souls of men and women. It's the creation that where God created man, and he breathed in him a living spirit. And there's this fight and this battle that's going on in our lives. And let me tell you today, I want to tell you something. Can I tell you something? Jesus knows your name. Satan doesn't care about you. Doesn't care about you. You want to live in sin? You can do that. He don't care about you. But the day you come to Christ, the day you're thinking about coming to Christ, the day you're a Christian, you start thinking about going into the ministry, the dark side knows your name. So what are they doing? They're attacking. I want to spend the rest of this time, because there's a lot in this, but I want you to, if you got your papers, you flip them over. 7 signs that might help you understand and know that you might be in a spiritual warfare or a spiritual attack. This is going to help you understand. Not every time does this happen, but this is where you got to pray in the Spirit and ask God to give you insight. Lord, is this happening? Not everything that happens in your life bad is a spiritual attack. If you take $20 out, if you go spend $20 on your debit card and you only had $10 and you get a overdraft, you can't say Satan is attacking my finances. Okay? All right? So not everything that bad happens to us is a spiritual attack. But there are some signs I want to share with you today, and some of these are from my own personal life. Something I see through Scripture, especially the book of Job, you see how Satan attacks. Number one, when you lose your spiritual drive and your desire for Jesus, when you lose that oomph that you got, that drive that you have, that you had for Jesus, and it's beginning to wane, it's beginning to fall away. So Satan wants, what he wants to do is he wants you to lose your hunger and begin to drift from God and begin to pull you away from God. That's what he wants to do. Because when you drift from God, that your power gets weaker. The further you get from God, that power gets weaker inside of you. And you start to become critical of the church. And we see unhappy person and you're lost and you lost your joy. You just don't feel like you got it. And sometimes you're fighting that battle. You're like, I don't want to feel like that. And you just keep, and it just keeps coming to you. And it's a slow, and it's a pull, and it's pulling you. And you begin to lose that spiritual hunger. Remember when you got saved, you're excited? Remember when you had your first ministry, you were in it, you were excited, you didn't know what to do, but you were in it, and you saw the joy of others, and your joy was there, and you begin to lose that joy. Sometimes Satan wants to come in, because that's what he does. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal it. He wants to do that. He wants to tear you away from that. So he wants to get that spiritual drive out of you. I just don't have the oomph anymore. Sometimes we get down on that, and we struggle with it. It's not something that happens in a day. It's not something that happens for one day. This, the spiritual attacks is over and over and over. And you'd be like, I don't understand. I'm losing my fire. What's going on? You need to know those signs. Maybe something else going on in your life and you need to deal with it, but sometimes you're just doing great and all of a sudden it's like a big punch. It's like a gut punch. Knocks the wind out of you. And we just feel like sometimes God's not there. And we wrestle with that. We lose our spiritual drive and our desire for Jesus. Sometimes we can do everything right. And we begin to fight this battle. Remember, it's not against flesh and blood. This is a spiritual thing. You see, if I go to the doctor today, they can go and they can take my temp. They can do all this stuff and they can check everything about me in my flesh. And they'll tell me what's wrong. They can tell me what would be wrong. But only the Holy Spirit can tell you about spiritual things. And the scriptures are saying it's not about your blood. It's not about your flesh. This is a spiritual thing. And it flows over into the physical things so many times. Number two, when fear becomes you. Now we know that some people don't like roller coasters. Some people don't like to walk in the dark. Sometimes we just have those natural fears. I don't like to be on heights. I don't like heights. I don't, whatever it is. I never like to climb trees. Whatever. Fell out of a tree one time, you don't want to climb another tree. Sometimes life is just the way it is. But I want to tell you, when a spiritual fear comes upon you, you will know the difference. Some of you can relate to that. I had a spiritual fear for about 3 weeks, two times in my life. It is a different kind of fear than what a normal fear would be. This fear begins to open up spiritual things and begins to put a fear in you that is almost a spirit in itself. This fear comes in an area where it is huge. It shrinks all your power. It just shrinks everything in you, all your courage, all your strength. It just begins to shrink that, and the fear comes in and takes over the room inside of you. Now, some of you may not understand that. You've not been there, but others of you may know what it is to have the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear is not a place that you want to be. Even Scripture tells us, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Because fear takes those things away. Power, love, and sound mind. Especially the sound mind. But fear does that. And fear will steal everything in you and around you. I came to this altar in 2010 to pray for this church. The spirit of fear came, and I had it for 3 weeks. 3 weeks. It took me and six other people to pray over this whole thing that was going on. Wasn't anybody, but I knew what it was. The spirit of fear is something that has been all the way through the scriptures. Didn't the Lord tell Joshua, be strong and courageous, which is the opposite of fear? Be strong, be courageous. He didn't tell him one time. He told him several times. Why? Because we can get that spirit of fear. And it will shrink every piece of power, every powerful thing that's inside of you. The spirit of fear, if it stays too long, you'd be afraid to come out of the house. You see, the world doesn't know how to understand that because it's a spiritual thing. And this is a win from Satan when he does that. And if you're going through that, you might think that maybe, possibly, that you're going through some spiritual warfare. Number three, all your resources are drying up. And when that happens, all your resources, we see that in the book of Job, all your resources start to dry up, your finances start to dry up, all your tools and all your things that you have start to dry up. Satan did that. He took out all Job's cattle, he took out all of his herds, he took out all of his finances, bankrupted him. But let me remind you of this, even though you may go bankrupt physically in the flesh, You can still be rich in the Spirit. But when that happens, and that hit starts coming, and it just isn't one hit, we start getting another hit. What's going on here? What's going on here? What's going on there? Your money never seems to last, but before it did, you're not doing much different, but things are just, everything's starting to fall apart. Everything's starting to fall apart. You're not getting as many hours. Your bills are coming in, they're stacking in. Cars are falling apart. House is falling apart. You got more money that needs to go out than what's coming in. And it just continues on and it continues on. And what happens, we get frustrated. We go, where's God? Where are you at? Where are you at? Where are you at? Where are you at? I struggle with that one too. I've had to go through that one as well. It was a rainy day. It was pouring down. I pulled the truck over to the side of the road and said, I threw my hands up and said, come on, God, where are you at? And then a rock hits my windshield. Can I tell you that was the second vehicle in the same week? Or some or the other time, somehow my back window of the car blew out. I had bills I couldn't pay. Let me just put something on you right now. Nobody cares about your bills but you. I'm just telling you, nobody cares about your bills but you. The church can say we care, we can say we care, but until the problem gets personal, we just say we love you, and we'll, you know, that's what we do. But just let me tell you, sometimes the Lord does work through people in a way where people do help people. And people that help people sometimes are blessed. God blesses them, but not always on this side of heaven. Sometimes it's on both sides. Sometimes it's just in heaven. But sometimes when you get hit over and over and over and over again, you need to wake up and go, wait a minute, wait a minute. I've been praying, I've been reading, keeping myself focused. Lord, I don't understand what's going on here. You know what it does? It drives you to your knees. Nothing drives you quicker to your knees when you hit a spiritual warfare attack. Because it will hit you in areas that you're not used to. Let me share another one with you. Number four, your family, your business, your ministry are all taking several hits. Everything is taking a hit. Your family, why? Because Satan attacks those you love the most. He attacks what you love the most. And sometimes he'll even attack your blessings because he doesn't want you to have them. He'll attack your ministry. He'll attack your job. He'll attack your family. He'll try to get in there and cause divorce. He'll get in there and try to cause children to rebel in the family. This becomes a spiritual attack in that. You need to know, take ownership of your family. Take spiritual leadership of your family, of your life. Take spiritual responsibility. Stand firm and fight the fight. Don't give up. I got to go pop another pill. I got to go another anxiety pill. I got to go down to the bar. I got to do this. I can't handle this on my own. Let me tell you, none of that works. That just steals and kills cell brains and causes people to make bad decisions and bad choices. He will come and he will steal, kill, and destroy everything about you. Job had that happen to him. Not only did Satan destroy and take all of his resources, he allowed storms to come in. He allowed people to come in, and he lost all of his kids. They were all destroyed. All of his kids were destroyed. And he prayed for them all the time, just like you and I do. We pray for our kids all the time. And Satan came to destroy. Why? Because he was living the life that God called him to live. Satan can't have any, he doesn't want anything clean in this world. He wants this world to be a garbage dump, to be a sewer tank. And when you are a Christian and you're walking in this world, being the righteous, being the Christ-like, living the Christ-like life, I'm telling you, you're different than the world and it will draw attacks. Let's not be foolish, not thinking we can never come under spiritual attacks. Because it will happen, and it does happen. It's not a matter of if, it's when. It's when. He will attack your family. He will attack your business if you have one. He will attack your ministry from time to time. But God uses these things sometimes and turns them into good things. It's hard to imagine that, but God has a way of doing what only God can do. Take a bad thing and turn it into a good thing. Find the good from it and however to fix it and turn it in and bless it into something that he can use for his purpose. Number five, we know this can be a big spiritual attack. When you became a Christian, you're cleaning your life up with the Lord and you're on the right path. And here's what he does. Satan tries to bring old friends and old past back into your life. Let me say this right out the front. The good old days were not all, they really weren't that good, were they? The lost days really weren't that good. We fool ourselves. 70s really weren't that good. I know I'm a little bit older than some. But we get it, Mike, right? The 70s were not really that good. I was a young boy watching adults. And there's things I've seen that I should have never seen because we were lost. And everybody put a smile on their face, but things happened that should not have happened. And I will tell you, there sure was a lot of whiskey. Sure was a lot of cussing. It was dark and it was hard. That boy wants to talk about the good old days. Well, there might have been some good days, but I want to tell you, when you live a life as a lost person, those days were not that good. Pig pen is no place for the Christian, but yet people are in the pig pen today. You know the story of the prodigal son. Went off and I'm going to do my own thing. Left a good godly family, I'm going to do my own thing. Well, that lifestyle ended him up in a pig pen, not where he needed to be. Not where he needed to be. Satan wants to pull you to a pig pen, to a place of filth, to a place where you shouldn't be. Have you been to a place that you shouldn't have been in the last month or two? I hope you work that out with God. I hope you work that out with the Lord, because the pig pen is a place to keep you in the pen. Sometimes the pig pen, you're in there with other people. Can I just tell you, because I don't know why I'm going to say it. I'm just going to say this. Whiskey helps nobody. Unless you've got a cut and it'll burn. And it helps. And it just makes, cleans it up so there's no infection. Just let it burn. That's what it does. It burns. Think you got control? My grandmother did that. My grandmother, that wasn't whiskey. She's always driving in the car and popping a cigarette out, and she just kind of sneaky with it. Didn't want nobody to know she's doing it, but I'd see it. And she's like, "Now, don't tell nobody. Don't tell your mom. Don't tell your mom." But we do the same thing as Christians. We got this little pocket over here that we like to play around with. I'm telling you, it's going to burn you. Satan will take what little he's got. And he'll keep pulling you and keep pulling you. And sometimes he uses it with old friends that put pressure on you. And you go back to those old friends and those old places. This is what happens when people come out of prison. They get back hooked up with them old friends and them old places. I'm telling you, that's where they got caught. That's where they ended up. You get where I'm going? It's a cycle. You have to break your friend's cycle. You have to break your old places. It doesn't work. If it worked, you wouldn't have went. The prison. You wouldn't have got arrested. Satan loves to use old people and old places to pull people back into sin. And it's a spiritual attack to draw you. Yes, he'll use the flesh, but it is a spiritual killer, is what it is. Number six, for the Christian, here it is. Pulling you away from godly relationships. Causing problems between two Christians. Putting a division, a wedge between two brothers in the Lord, two sisters in the Lord, two families. Putting a wedge in there, trying to cause a divide, division. Satan does that. And he does it for one purpose. To hurt the family of God, which hurts God. Draws you away from those godly relationships. You get upset and you stop coming to church for a while. You stop praying then, and you stop reading the God's Word, and you just slowly start drifting and drifting and drifting, and then you become in isolation. And Satan loves isolation because it's, you are not in the fellowship of the church. You're not you're not worshiping. You're not reading. He has you in isolation. Think about this. When you're tempted to sin, and when you do sin, usually it's in when you are by yourself. It's usually when you're by yourself. Because it's in that isolation. He bombards you with thoughts of pleasure. And no one's going to see. Jesus forgives. Just do it and ask for forgiveness later. I want to remind you, there is a difference between spiritual attacks and God's discipline. God disciplines out of love. Satan attacks out of hatred for you and for God. But God disciplines out of love. God knows when to do discipline, and he knows when to pull back. Satan pushes the buttons, and there is no end. There is no end until he's forced to end. So we need to know that when we start pulling away from the church and pulling away from our godly friendships, and we begin to draw away from the fellowship of God, and I'm going to tell you all this, then we stop praising God. It's what we do. And we find ourselves in a spiritual warfare. We're in a fight. Number seven. Discouragement and depression. Satan, if he takes it, he'll take it to places, to the darkness of thoughts of suicide. There's some pastors, even our own denomination, have taken their lives in the last couple of years. Even one of our pastors in Indiana has taken his life a couple of years ago. If you don't think that's spiritual warfare, then you're blinded. Take a man of God who preaches the word and loves his family and does all that he's supposed to do. And his family goes off. Wife goes off, pick up the kids from school and comes back and he's hung himself. If you don't think that's spiritual warfare, then you're blinded. Everybody gets discouraged. Everybody can have a moment of depression. Everybody can have some crazy thoughts from time to time. But I want to tell you, when it bombards you over and over and over, and you begin to change, and your whole self begins to change on how you act and what you do, how you respond to things, I'm telling you, that is a big sign of spiritual warfare bringing you down. If basically, that's a one-on-one hit right there. You're the focus, going after you to bring you to a point to bring you completely down. You begin to doubt yourself. Those who have been called to ministry, you begin to doubt the call on your life, on your ministry. You begin to doubt everything that in your life that has been good, you begin to doubt, even to the point you say, I'm not a good father. I'm not a good mom. I wasn't a good spouse. I'm not good at anything. I'm not good at anything. And that's what Satan keeps whispering in your ear. You are not good at anything. And then it ends up, why are you even breathing? And you listen to that voice long enough, and those voices long enough, you begin to believe them. And the sad part is, then people begin to act on it. It is a dark rabbit hole that goes real deep. And when you're on isolation and you isolate yourself, I'm telling you, that is one of the things. And we're going to talk about that coming up later on, but that's one of the things you need to get away from. I hear so many people, I'm an introvert. Okay, introvert. I grew up as an introvert. Still somewhat got introvert stuff within me. It's okay to be an introvert. It's okay to take a day to yourself. It's okay to take a walk by yourself. But it's not okay to live life by yourself. To hide from people. I don't like crowds. I get anxiety. Listen, that's a thing. I'm telling you, that's a thing right now. Even with a lot of young people, I get anxiety. I can't be around crowds. Let me tell you something. That's a lie. That's a lie from the devil. I understand some people may not like crowds, but when we keep away and we keep living that and we keep believing that and we keep believing that, we weaken and we weaken and we weaken. So some of these things today that some of us may be just struggling with our spiritual desire. Some of us may be struggling with fear and our resources may be drying up. Maybe there's something going on with our family or our old friends and habits start popping up. Maybe it's our godly relationships are starting to diminish and maybe we're just discouraged and depressed, those kind of things. There's some other things, but just because one of those was happening doesn't mean you're in spiritual warfare or spiritual attack. But I want to tell you, when you keep getting the hits, and let me tell you something, when you get the hits, most of you end up calling me. You call me when it becomes one after another, and I'm okay with that. That's good. You're not calling me on every little bump going on in your life. Oh, I just had this. But when you need to call your brothers in the Lord, your sisters in the Lord, when you are getting, let me tell you, you're getting hit by a freight train. You're playing football and you're the only player on the, and you have an opposing team, but you're the only player on your side. And you're getting beat down. And let me tell you, Satan doesn't pull punches. He will beat you down and beat you down and laugh about it and beat you down some more and laugh about it again. Some of us, because of these things in our life that's happened, we pull up the white flag and we want to surrender. There is no room for surrender. This is why we need Jesus Christ in our life. But not just in our life, but in our daily walk with in this world. We need Him in all that we do. You have sexual thoughts that are over and over and over and over and over again, and they're not with your spouse? That's not coming from God. That's not coming from God. Thought about leaving your relationship over and over and over and over and over again. Next thing you know, you're butchering your spouse down. You're butchering your spouse. And you're just like, well, where's that coming from? And you may have had a great day together, and all of a sudden these thoughts of butchering your spouse down. That's not from God. There's only one that can be coming from. Been doing well in your walk with the Lord? Trying to regain some steps with the Lord? And then all of a sudden there's temptation. I want to go, oh man, I've been invited to a party and I know there's going to be drinking, but I really want to go. I think I'm going to go. And you know there's a part you just heard, but I shouldn't go. There's a battle in your life. That's spiritual warfare. A battle. What you going to do? That's that temptation. We are all fighting a fight in our life. And we got to get stronger. We got to get tougher. But we got to do it with the Lord's strength, because you can't do it on your own. You can't win on your own. Now we're going to talk about how to get through some of this stuff in a couple of weeks, on how to get through it. We're going to get deeper into it. But I want to tell you, because I don't want to leave you this morning knowing, oh my gosh, what do I do? I want to tell you, we'll get deeper into it, but I want to tell you this. Number one, you need to pray. You have to pray. Number two, you need to get away from what's messing with you, if you can. You need to walk away. Run away, like Joseph. You also might have to come to a place of fasting. And we'll talk about that. But if you're under a spiritual demonic attack, I want to tell you there's one thing that you're going to have to do. You're going to have to do two things. You're going to have to pray, and you're going to have to praise. You praise your way through a battle. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to share one with you. One of mine, where the only way it was through praise. So I want to tell you there's hope, and the hope is only in Jesus Christ. Amen? How many of you have been through spiritual warfare and spiritual attacks? I want to hear it. I want to see real quick. All right. Now, how many of you lost some of those attacks? How many of y'all won a bunch of those attacks? Let me tell you, it's not going to end today. It don't end till you get to heaven. Second Corinthians chapter 4 tells us that Satan blinds the eyes of the lost people. He blinds the eyes of the unbelievers who do not hear the gospel. And at the same time, he's attacking us not to share the gospel. I don't know what you're going through in your life. You may be doing great in your life. I will tell you this. If you're doing great in your life, you need to be praising God every day. Be thanking God every day for what he's offered, what he's given to you, how he protects you, how he's blessing you. And think about the blessings of the Lord. That's for you that are doing great. And I pray that there's many that are doing that. But there are some of you that are doing great, but some other things are happening in your life, and you're like, some of these things are out of my control. I don't understand what's going on. Maybe you need to take a moment and pray about that. Asking God to give you strength. Maybe you're going through one of these seven pieces here. Satan loves to divide. He loves to divide. Maybe you're feeling not just a spiritual attack on your family or your resources or your ministry, but maybe there's a spiritual attack that's on you personally. That is on you personally, where your thought patterns are not right. Where you're thinking about doing things and it's on a regular basis, but you're thinking, and these thoughts are coming in your head. They are not godly. But it's not just the thoughts, it's the images. The images that just pop up into your head, you're like, where is that coming from? Where is that coming from? And if you're living right, you're doing those things, I'm telling you, I would probably say you're very highly going, possibility you're going through a spiritual attack. Because God wants to fill us with good things, amen? Things that are pleasing to him. But Satan wants to fill us with evil things and sinful things. Here. It's our mind where we think and process things. It's our heart where life is at. It's right here. It's our soul. So the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And we can get through any spiritual attack, but we need God with us. I'm praying today that you learn something about spiritual warfare as we're going to get ready to go through part two and part three in the next couple of weeks. But this is what I know. Anytime I do spiritual warfare, it always raises up prior to it and during it. Don't isolate yourself. Amen? Don't isolate yourself. Let's stand.